So next we want to go into the number two head, and that is Assyria. Remember, this is, you know, back there where Nineveh was, when Jonah was running around, that was the beginning of that empire back in that time. Now Assyria, later on, it was actually after Jonah, but they were Assyria. Nineveh at the time was going to come down and really destroy more of those northern tribes. And when I refer to Israel, I'm referring to all that, Judah and Israel and Jerusalem and all that, so don't get confused on that. I'm using general terms. But Assyria took the 10 northern tribes captive, and they physically removed them from Israel. And so here's another head that is going against Israel again. That's during the time of the prophets of Isaiah and Jonah. Let's give you a little timing there. Let's turn over to Jeremiah. You know, there's not a whole lot to say about some of these heads. You have to go back and read the history of that. I'm not going to take the time to go through that. We've got too much other things to go through. I'm just putting them down. If you have them in your notes and go back through this, you'll be able to see how this all unfolds. You have to excuse me. I just put a great big fingerprint right on my glasses. There, I have to get that clean so I can see the words here. Okay, so Jeremiah 50, verse 17. It talks about this Assyria being another one of these heads, or being a world ruling, not world ruling, but an empire that's coming against Israel. It says, Israel is a scattered sheep. The lions have driven him away. First the king of Assyria hath devoured them. And remember this, because this is the next head, Babylon. And the last, this Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has broken his bones. So there's a reference in the Holy Scriptures, and there's a lot more, but I'm just picking that one, that tells you that first Assyria came against Israel, which is true, because they were a nation then, and they came against them. And next in order was going to be Babylon. And that's where we're going to next. Number three, the third head, is Babylon. That's not the first head, it's the third head. Otherwise, you have to argue with God here. I don't think you want to do that. I tried that a few times. It really doesn't work too well. He always gets his way. He always does it. You can't fight him. You know, so don't call God a liar. So number three head is Babylon. Now they took Assyria, and they took all the captives too that Assyria had, which were the, a lot of the Israelites there. And they carried off, Babylon carried off Judah and Benjamin into captivity as well during their reign. Now this was the time of prophets during Daniel and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And we will have future sermons on what really happened during that time, because that's something else that's really misunderstood by the church. Well, that's a different time, different subject. Let's go to Daniel. We'll go into Daniel now. Let's go to Daniel 2. Just to point out a scripture here and a scripture there, showing that these are these different heads. So Daniel 2, verse 38, we're breaking into a... We're going to come back to this in a little while, so don't worry. But he says, and wheresoever the children of man dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven, he goes through there. He says, and hath made thee ruler over them all. And he's talking here about Nebuchadnezzar. And he says, you art this head of gold. So he's another head. But this is a different vision. Remember that when Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar, when they had these visions in Daniel's time, Egypt and Assyria was already gone. They were gone. And now this vision is showing where they are in this main vision of the seven heads and ten horns. It's telling them exactly where they are in here. Okay? So it's a different vision, just to point this out. And it was going through showing that there's going to be actually five more heads from including Babylon on. And so he says, you're the head of gold. So we know he's one of the heads. And we already know from the scripture we just read before that he follows Assyria. Next we come to the fourth head is this Media Persia Empire. Okay, they overthrew Babylon Empire. And really the 70 years captivity of Israel really ended then. And they were allowed to go back. Okay. The Jews were allowed to return and rebuild. But the entire region, all of Israel, was under the control of that empire. Now, this was prophesied to happen because Jesus Christ had to come along and he had to be born there. And Jerusalem had to be there. Everything had to be set up for when Jesus Christ came. And there's other prophecies stating that that was going to happen in history. And this was the time during this Media Persia Empire of Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, Joshua, and Zerubbabel. Remember reading about that in our second lesson, I believe, that we sent out. Malachi, Hosea. These are some of the different prophets that were around during that head, okay? In Daniel 8, we're already in Daniel. In Daniel 8, he speaks about this in verse 20. And he's talking here about another little vision, all right? But it's still describing that seven heads. And he says, the ram which you saw having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia. See? So it states that. And you can go and work this all out. But if as long as you stay to this outline, it starts to become very clear. Okay, the next one to come on the scene was this Greco-Macedonian one. This is Alexander the Great. And he came and smashed all of these empires. Anything that was around, he smashed it. He really took a lot. And he also controlled the region where all the Jews continued on their own. The land of Israel there continued, but they were under Alexander. And of course, they had wars, they had different things. And then it split, remember, from Alexander. He died, and then his four generals took over. So they kind of split it up, but it was still under this whole head. And we're right here in Daniel 8, the next verse down, Daniel 8, 21. He says, and this goat is the king of Greece. See, this Greco-Macedonian Empire. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. That was Alexander. Now, that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation. Still this Greek nation. But not in his power. They would not be as strong and powerful as Alexander once was. So here we see, you know, God does show us exactly where these heads are. And the way I am explaining it is the only way that it can be. Can't be any other way. Now, have you heard me talk about all these revivals and Mussolini standing up and saying, this is the Holy Roman Empire? Duh. Well, maybe we should believe Mussolini, you know. That's what we did. those were world events and it happened, but it wasn't necessarily prophesied. It was just under Satan's rule and his mixed up time. Then the next empire or head came the Roman Empire. Now they also controlled the whole region of Israel. We know that. John was under them. Christ was under him. Christ was killed by him. You know, and all of that. So that was the sixth head in John's time. But something was starting to happen here. This is the time of the Messiah, crucifixion, but the church started. Now all this time, these heads were over physical kingdoms and persecuting the physical children of Israel, weren't they? But during this time, something else started to happen. At 70 AD, of course, this physical nation started to be devastated and scattered, and the temple was gone because of the wars there. And Rome came down and just smashed all of Israel and Judah, all of it. And after a while, I believe it was a number of, you know, hundreds of years later, but the Roman Empire started to dwindle and dwindle and dwindle, and then it was gone. Well, what happened? Where's the beast? Where's another head? Where's this beast? The beast is still there. All right, maybe one of the heads isn't in charge, but where's this beast? Well, during the time of that Roman Empire, when Christ came on the scene and the church began, God had already really divorced the children of Israel, physical ones. But he started something new, and God started the spiritual nation of Israel, which are the first fruits, which are the church. Now, how does some physical power come against them? You see? See, Satan's got a problem right here. So the sixth head died out finally. But where did it go? We know that there's a seventh head that comes, but it seems to be after that thousand-year period is over. That's what we know from Scripture. Where has this beast been the last 2,000 years? Where has he been? There's no sense chasing the children of Israel. He started the church. We're the spiritual nation. Where is he now? Well, let's go over to 2 Thessalonians 2. We're going to read about him. And I've gone over this several times in several different sermons, so we'll go fairly quick, and I'll just explain it as we go. I won't keep you in suspense. We're just going to hit it. And if you're hearing this for the first time, and I don't know who gets these tapes at what time, God's Spirit, if you are a Philadelphian first fruit, is going to open up your mind. And as I read this, you're going to see something that you've never seen before. It's going to be so very plain. Of course, I have been setting this up pretty well, you know, as we've gone along. But here we come into this chapter, as we know, as the man of sin. It's the only real place that talks about that. And it says, this is Paul talking about way back now, when the church was going there 20, 30 years. It says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him. So it's talking about the end time when Christ is going to come. Okay? He's setting the stage. That you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit or by word, nor by letter from us. People are falsifying letters at the time. As that the day of Christ is at hand. This is the subject of this. 2 Thessalonians 2. Okay, in verse 3. Now he's giving the warning. He says, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. When you look up the words, it can mean people falling away or being scattered, but it means this apostasy. It means a falling away from spiritual truth. Okay, I think that we have all just witnessed that one happening. And there's a second thing. There's two things. This falling away, this apostasy, and then the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, I've heard everything from the Pope to other religious leaders to a physical leader in Europe, some beast power. I've heard it all the way to Mr. Joe DeCotts, because somebody didn't like the way he was doing things, so they called him that. Or they called his son that. And all of those things, brethren, is a lie. Mr. DeCotts was a servant of God, and he certainly fulfilled what God said he was going to do in that Laodicean era. Are they not blind, miserable, naked, on and on and on, lukewarm? Yes! Did he fulfill it? Yes! Don't argue with God. Respect and honor what God does. They're still your brethren. They are first fruits. Love them. They just happen to be blind right now. They won't always remain that way. Now, who is this man of sin? Who is this that opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God? Or that is worship? So that he, as God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. No, this isn't the Pope sitting down in Jerusalem in some man-made temple eating a ham sandwich. This isn't him, okay? In fact, the Pope is a very nice man. He's just deceived. Boy, at least stands up for his convictions. I really respect the Pope. He stands up for his convictions. You won't let all these little bishops and all these little groups talk him out of what the Catholic Church believes in. The guy's got guts. I respect him for that. Of course, not religiously. You know, he's trying to do the best he can what he has. He just doesn't have anything. So Satan is just working there. You know, don't knock the poor guy. He's going to be one of our brothers someday. We're going to love him too. In fact, he's a very lovable chap, isn't he, right now? So, who is this man of sin? No one has ever known. Everyone's tried to go everywhere else but the culprit. The man of sin is no more or no less than Satan the devil. Satan the devil. That's who he is. He's the man of sin. And guess what, brethren? He's been sitting in the temple. He's been sitting right here in God's church for 2,000 years. This is one of the hardest things that I had to get over. I just couldn't believe it. But this is what it is. Now, Christ is the head of the church, and he certainly has allowed us to know whatever we were supposed to know, depending what era we were in. But he also has allowed Satan to sit right within the church, and he gave him parameters to work. This is why we don't understand prophecy. It's all Satan's garbage we're being tossed out here. Let's read it again. This man of sin was going to be revealed when? Right at the end time. And he's being revealed what? Right here at the end time. I don't know how long, but the seven eras have been here. Okay? He's the one, this man of sin, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. He changes God's ways. He throws out God's law. He says, no, you can do it this way. Or that is worship. So that he, as God, sits in the temple of God. That's the church. There's no other temple of God. It's the only temple that God's working with. It's the church, showing himself that he is God. Look at what the latest scenes. Look at the worldwide Church of God believes in today. Do you think they believe in the real God? They're following a false God. This man of sin sitting there. He said it would happen in the latest scene era, and it has. Let's keep on going. We'll nail this down. Remember you not, this is Paul talking. He says, remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? See, this is happening more and more right within the Ephesus era of the church. Remember Mr. Armstrong saying within 20 years after Christ died, already the gospel was changing. It was a different gospel. Yeah, and Paul saw it. He preached the right thing, but there's a lot of others that weren't. I mean, the true apostles were all preaching the right thing. But all this garbage was starting to come in. It says, and now he knows what withholds that he might be revealed in his time. So God said, right, let him sit there. We'll reveal him at the right time. He says, for, and this was in Paul's time, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. And he's talking about right within the churches. It does already work. Only he that now lets will let until he takes them out of the way. Christ is allowing it. He says, but it gets down to that end time, and then he says, and then shall that wicked one be revealed. And he is now being revealed for the first time in God's church. That he's been sitting here too, brethren. Now your salvation was sealed. It was there. You have God's Holy Spirit. He couldn't hurt you. He couldn't take your salvation away, thank God. But he was really messing it up in all these eras, wasn't he? And God allowed him to, and God predicted he would. He knew exactly what he would do. It says, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. We know he's going to destroy Satan. Even him who comes after the workings of Satan with all power, signs, and wonders. Remember we read about that beast at the end, that seventh head, was going to do all these marvelous things and bring fire down from heaven and all of that. So he goes on here. I just don't have the time. But he continues to go on and says that they'd be given strong delusion, that they believe a lie. That's the demons. That's Satan. That's all of that that's going on. And they had no pleasure. But he had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's Satan. That's his character. That's the way he does things. But God has us sealed. And he is going to take, and it says, that they might all be damned who believe not the truth. And that is Satan and the demons. And we know that later everyone is going to believe and understand the truth, except Satan. So here it is, Satan sitting within the church. Where else should he be? Where else should the beast be? He doesn't have those physical nations to work with there. So he sits right within the church. That's why we haven't heard of him. That's why he's kept it under wraps. And he's deceived us all. And God says, well, I'm not even going to reveal it until the end. And he has. And now we know that he's in here. Now we have the true plan of salvation. And now we see how he's been doing this counterfeit to everyone. God has been building that spiritual nation of Israel, the church. Where else would Satan go? Where else would he be? Look at the seven eras. God knew exactly what he was going to allow Satan to do. I'm going to do this very quickly. You can figure out the different eras. I'm just going to read this list. The different things that happen within the seven eras of the church. And then you tell me if Satan wasn't messing around in there. And God already predicted it was going to happen exactly that way. He made the evil. He knew exactly how that thing would work. Look at some of these examples. They lost their first love. The devil cast some of them in prison. A lot of persecution going on within the church. Talks about one. He says, you dwell where Satan's seat is. And you hold the doctrine of Balaam. This is in the church. This is in the very church of God. And you eat things sacrificed to idols. Commit fornication, spiritually speaking. That's what they were doing. This was happening within different eras of the church. They had the doctrine of the Nicolaus. Well, I can't say it. Nicolaus Lysaeus, whatever it is. It's the Catholic Church, really, and the influence. Get tongue twister there. I can't say it. I'm not going back for it. I don't have the time. Another era. It says, you suffered that woman Jezebel. We know what that is. It's a horrible, foul religion. Look those things up. That was happening within the church. Talks about one being almost dead, spiritually. And then it talks about one being lukewarm and blind and wretched and miserable and poor and naked. So much so he wants to vomit them out. Now they'll hear the call at the end. Don't worry about that. But for the time being, this is exactly what God said was going to happen. Who else do you think made all this happen within the churches? It was Satan, the man of sin, sitting within the church. Now he could not affect the outcome, but he was there, and he was there for a purpose. And we've had a lot of other sermons about that. But what about the seventh head? All right, we've gone through the churches. We see where Satan's been hiding out, where the beast, the dragon's been hiding, right here. Okay. What about this seventh head? Back to Revelation 20. And we have to move swiftly. Revelation 20, verse 7. We all know this. He says, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison." All right, remember he says that one's going to come up, the one that is not yet, was going to come up in a later time for a short season or a short space. And we know this is the time. I think all of us can agree on this. And then what happens? We've just had a physical world running there for 1,000 years, a human utopia. Everything was nice. Everyone being their brother's keeper, it was really nice. All right? You all have heard the light. We've gone through that plan of salvation. We've laid out exactly how it was going to be. So now what happens? Now he's let loose after the 1,000 years. "And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth." This is everybody. "Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom are the sand of the seas." You can't number it. Okay. I think I'll just cover verse 9 right here while we're here. "And they went up on the breadth of the earth and encompassed the camp of the saints." These are people. He's referring to these as people. "And the camp they had," you look up camp, it means barracks. "And they were ready to fight too." Everyone's ready to fight about that beloved city. "And then that fire came down from heaven and devoured them." Let's get to that in a moment. Satan came out, was able to put his satanic computer chip within everyone again, and that satanic nature. This world at that time, after 1,000 years, was humanly very nice, beautiful. No one fighting, no one evil, no great giant sins of murder and all that, because Satan's spirit was gone at that point. He was locked up. He's released. What happens? He gets the whole world very quickly, in this short period of time, very quickly. Now they want to all fight each other again. And how do we know this? Ezekiel 38. You're going to just have to keep up with me on this. It's a Bible burner right now. Ezekiel 38, starting in verse 2. It says, "Son of man, set your face against Gog, the land of Magog." Actually, that seventh head is going to be known as Gog by God. It's a name he's given him. "In this land of Magog." And this does not happen, of course, at the beginning of the millennium. This all happens at the end of the millennium. And you all know that by the proper timing. So he talks to them. Let me go through this quickly. In verse 8, when is this happening? "After many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years, in the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many peoples." Again, the mountains, the mountain of Israel, which have been always waste, but is brought forth, and they're dwelling in safely now. They're dwelling very safely now. And this gives another thing in verse 10. It says, thus saith the Lord, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into your mind. See, these things weren't there before when Satan was locked up, but they are now. After 1,000 years, says this is going to come into your mind, and you shall think an evil thought. Because Satan is back. I'm back, you see. And then it talks in verse 11, and thou shalt say, I will go to the land of unwalled villages, where they all are at rest and they dwell safely. See? They go there. And this is what we sing about in church. They go and they take the spoil. They take Jerusalem. But they really take it. Now, Christ wasn't sitting there. It wasn't his throne. How could they ever take Christ? They can't. This is just physical people. But Satan's going against, he's gathering the whole world to come against Jerusalem, because that's where it's all going to happen, isn't it? So this seventh head gets the whole world together in back of him, and gets, this is when those 10 nations come together, these 10 horns. And they all come up. Let's go back to Revelation 17. Yeah, wait a minute. No, I'll just quote this. In Revelation 17, between verses 12 and 17, he talks about, and we read that, about those 10 horns. Remember, they gave their power to the beast for 1 hour? These are these 10 great nations that have formed in peace over these 1,000 years of peace. There's going to be these 10 great big nations. What, like United States and South America and maybe Russia and maybe China and maybe Europe and maybe South Africa? You figure it out. I don't know. We'll see it when it happens. But there'll be 10 great peaceful nations. See, at the end. And these things are all going to come together. Now let's go back to Daniel 2 to show some timing here. So as these 10 give their power, they have no choice on it, they give their power over to that beast, that Gog, and they all come together and they do this fight, see? Daniel 2 describes them too. And it's describing way at the end. So Daniel 2, starting in verse 32. This just gives a description. We're breaking in here, but it gives a description. Oh, I see what I've done here. Okay. It says this is the image of gold it's the head of gold and the breast and his arms of silver. It's describing this starting with Babylon, with that third head. And he's going on, and these images go right to the end. And you can go through this later. The arms of silver and a belly, and thighs of brass, and his legs of iron. He goes through this. But he says at the end here, and in verse 34, he says, and they're all there until the stone was cut out without hands, in other words, Christ, at the end, and it smote the image upon his feet, that the iron and clay all broke to pieces. It's telling you at the end, when that iron and clay together, which is going to make up that last head, that last beast, Christ is going to crush us, giving you the timing. That's the only time this beast is crushed, is at the end. And it tells you in verse 35, it says, then was the iron and the clay and the brass and the silver and the gold broken to pieces together. Takes his whole image and breaks it in this vision. And they became as chaff. And it says, no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is God's government way at the end. This is at the new heavens and the new earth. This is what that's talking about. He talks in verse 40 again. And he talks about the this fourth kingdom was iron. And in that symbolism, that fourth kingdom was the Roman Empire. But what people don't realize is it goes on, because those feet and clay were another head. That was the end. And it says about this, that fourth one, it says, for as much as the iron breaks in pieces and subdues all things, this was the character of that Roman Empire, and as iron that breaks all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And that's the way they went around and did it. They just conquered everyone, that Roman Empire. But then there was something else. This is actually this fifth kingdom. Whereas you saw the feet and the toes, part of the potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of iron, so much as you saw, and it's waxed. And it talks about in 42 here as the toes of the feet. See? But what happens to this? In verse 44, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. See? At the end of this rule of this beast with the seven heads and those ten horns, God is going to set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. No one will ever come and fight against this. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. And it shall stand forever and ever. And that is the very kingdom of God. And that's what's going to happen there. And it's talking about those ten toes. It's way at the end. It's not now. Don't look for something coming in Europe. All kinds of things may happen in Europe. They may have 25 nations together. I don't know what's going to happen. But it's not talking about the ten nations. The ten nations come way after the 1,000-year period. I know it's different than what we ever heard before, but it was the counterfeit, so we couldn't figure it out. So we couldn't see Satan as the beast and Satan sitting as the man of sin within the church. So at the end, as that all happens and Christ comes, you know, that's the day of the Lord. That's Armageddon. That's the seven last vials are poured out. That's when the angel says it's done. It's over. Everything's done. Then as we went through last week. So if you haven't heard the light, the three tapes on the light, hear that. It comes to that judgment time of the white throne judgment. And that's happening at the same time, this great last day and the new heavens and the new earth are happening. And we read there in Matthew 25:41, he sentences the people, all the sheep, into the kingdom of God forever. And he also sentences, you know, that's a good sentence. And then the bad sentence is Satan and all the demons, he says, go into hell fire, which has been prepared for you, the devil and his angels. And that's where they're going. We went through that before. I'm just trying to show you that the seventh head comes way at the end. Comes at the end when everything is broken in pieces. This is the true image of this beast. The key is always Revelation 17. And those seven heads that we have gone through. If you look in history, if you look at all of these other images and visions, with that in mind, it all starts to make sense. God has not given this to others. He hasn't revealed the true plan of salvation to others and other organizations. His Spirit is not working in their man-made organizations. And so they're in this mire and confusion, the satanic counterfeit of all the prophecies. They live, some churches or organizations live on this prophecy. And they have it all wrong. They're calling everyone else Laodicean. I wonder how blind they are. They better take a new look. God works through one servant to bring His people together. He always does it through His Spirit. He does it through the revelations of His truth. And that's the way He does those things. He always has a message. Each one of God's servants have had a message. It's always been a little different, but it's always been the same, really, but different parts of that message. You know, I am the only one that's bringing you this truth. None of the other organizations will ever give a sermon like this. They can't. They don't know it. They don't understand it. And when you go back and study this, you'll see how plain this really is. You know, it's time for all of you brethren who may hear these tapes later to come home. The congregation of God in the Philadelphian era is very nice, very peaceful. Finally, we have peace because we know the truth. It's time for you to come home. It's time that all of us start to get ready for this marriage that's coming and really start to understand who that groom really is and what he did for us and what the Father has in store for all of us. You know, don't be confused about this beast with the seven heads and the ten horns. You have this picture in your head now. Don't ever let anyone take that away from you, because you can prove it by Scripture and by history of what this is. And it's very simple, isn't it? It's very simple. How could we have missed this? But our eyes were blinded to it. And until God opens it, you can't see it. So make sure that you write in for the beast with seven heads and also the article on the two cities. Don't forget to do that, because it gives you more history and more detail than we can cover in an hour and a half. Obviously, I've been rushing through this, but I've given you the skeleton of it so no one can confuse you in the future. You know, be happy to what God has revealed to all of us and that we are beginning now to be able to share with all of our brethren around this world. And we're going to see a lot more joy come very soon now to a lot of people, and have a lot of people have peace in their life for really the first time. So remember all of your brethren in your prayers. They're still first fruits. And thank God for them. And always ask for their protection and on all of our protection. And we'll see everyone here again next week.